Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mindful Chef. This is Chef, and today I have a guest with me, and I am going to introduce Clarence Newton III.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Clarence. How are you?
I'm amazing. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So, Clarence is the owner and creator of Battle Tested War Ready, and I really thought it would be a great idea to have you on to talk about how you developed the brand and everything, but I always start with food. So, I have to ask, what is your favorite food?
My favorite food is probably seafood, like crab specifically, but seafood go all the way.
So what do you do with it? It can't just be regular crab. It has to be like, you like it a certain way, right?
I love it a certain way. Yeah, you gotta throw the spices in there, the herbs, the garlic, the butter. You know, you gotta make it an experience when you eat crab or seafood, you know?
So is there any particular type of crab? Because, you know, we're over here in California and we all about like the king crab and Dungeness and all of that. But over in Maryland, they got blue crab. So what kind of crab are you talking?
I really love like Dungeness, queen crab, king crab. Those are probably the three that I particularly care for.
Uh-huh. All right, so you know a little bit about cooking because you mentioned that, you know, the crab needs to have butter and garlic and spices, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your favorite thing to cook?
My favorite thing to cook probably is just like baked chicken, maybe rotisserie, but for sure baked chicken is my favorite thing to cook.
And just calls to you, makes you feel like that's it, that's your thing.
That's my thing. It's easy, it's quick, it always tastes good, you know? So
everybody loves chicken.
Everybody loves chicken.
Except vegans. I don't know. I'm a little vegan-ish, so I'll have no issues with vegans. Most days I don't eat meat, so yeah. I feel it. But there is nothing like baked chicken. It's kind of comforting, right?
No question.
I feel like that was like the fancy meal on the weekends. Like when my mother was really going all out, she put a chicken in the oven.
Yeah.
It made the whole house smell like chicken, right?
Yeah.
And back then, the chickens were a lot bigger than they are now. Now they're like nothing, Eric. It seemed like the bird was just huge.
Yeah.
So food culture, like growing up, I always want to know, like, from my guests, what do you remember about your upbringing, your childhood, about food? Was, you know, what memories that call you? You know, my work, we call them food memories. Like, what story would you tell about growing up in food and family?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in Oakland, California,
and but
the town for sure. But you know, my moms and my pops, they both from the South. So like, you know, my pops from Louisiana and my mom's from Texas, and so I definitely had more of like a Southern upbringing where, you know, they would cook on Sundays. We'd go to my grandma's house on 88th and Birch, right down the corner.
And, wow.
Yeah.
We probably passed each other at some point in time because Oakland is not that big.
that's history right here. You know what I'm saying? So 88th and Birch, shout out to 88th and Birch. But yeah, so you know, we do Sundays, we do, you know, holidays, and of course, you know, whenever we celebrate life, you know, the passing of one of our loved ones, you know, we cook and celebrate their life. As well, so you know, so that's my experience, and just, you know, growing up as it pertained to eating and just having a feast like royalty, you know.
Yeah, I often have to remind people that food isn't just for nourishment. Like a lot of times in this work, people think in terms of like we have to eat to live. There are those phrases, and then folks who are like on pursuit of health and wellness, they're like, you know, watch what you eat. But food is also so much more than just actual nourishment. It's joy, you know, it's excitement, it's celebration of life and all of those things. So that, it sounds like you have all of that in your upbringing as far as like your food culture goes. And sometimes we need to be brought back to that and be reminded of it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, like food, like, you know, for us, for Black people, you know, that's one of the main ways where we, you know, create just remembrance, you know, of our loved ones and just basically memories, you know, of things that are important to us and our family and our environment, you know.
Exactly. So there's that emotional connection to it that, you know, isn't the bad emotional eating. It's like that, you know, your grandma's pie or your uncle's potato salad or barbecue, yeah, whatever it is. It's just like, you know, you gotta have that one person make that one thing because they really, really make it the way it needs to be done, you know.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody absolutely else make that potato salad because you already know.
Yeah, you already know. You already know.
It's gonna be a fight. Look.
Yeah. I'm gonna turn the whole party upside down.
Right. Who made the potato salad? Nah, I'm good. I'm good. We all got our part to play. That's what I try to tell people on a regular basis. Like, stay in your lane, play your part.
Yeah, some people just supposed to grab plates and other people, only a small group of people supposed to be in the kitchen.
It's got to be the right ones. And if once you have been deemed the one for that thing, that's the golden ticket right there.
No question.
The golden ticket. So yeah, I'm really excited to hear about the food celebrations. You're obviously continuing on these with your own family. I'm sure of it, right? Like, making certain that they get all of that culture and understanding of who they are and where they come from.
Absolutely. My daughters, you know, I be trying to cook for them, but you know, they be talking crazy. Like, I don't know. They just want to eat junk food all the time, you know, but they know I really know how to throw down.
Oh, no. The kids be roasting you, man?
Roasting me hard, too.
What you be doing?
And, you know, I be trying to cook meat primarily, and you know, I throw some sides in here and there. But you know, they be trying to snack and eat candy and chips and basically garbage. You know, so
yeah, that's the struggle. It really is. I mean, it's the reason why I have a job, because you know, like, for real, we gotta figure out how to teach people to do different. You know. So I feel that. I got two kids myself, and I go to the store and I limit, well, I don't limit them, but I only buy like one snack a week. Like, when I go to the store, if you eat all these chips and cookies, I'm not going back and getting some more. Nah, I'm good. Yeah. You know, and they're at the point now where I'm like, and if you eat it all in 2 days, I'm really not going back to get it anymore.
Yeah, right. Well, we're going to have come through and bless our food one time, you know what I mean, and have my daughters shut their mouths for a minute. You know, you're going to come with it, so they just going to be eating, you know, just killing everything that you put on the plate, so it's all good.
I'm really known for getting people to eat things they think they don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times people will say, you know, kids and adults will both say, I don't like this, or I don't do this. I've been getting kids to eat broccoli for years. I just call them trees. Like, for real. You know? Hey, you want a tree? You know? I mean, it's not that simple, but it kind of is. But it's a learned skill. And I do love to come in and help families and people, like, figure out how to get their kids to eat a little bit better. Because there's a time and place for everything, you know?
Yeah, no question. No question.
It definitely is. So, to the reason why I wanted to have you on my podcast is because your brand, Battle Tested War Ready, was just, it stood out to me. And I loved seeing all of the women and girls in the t-shirts on Facebook. And I was like, what? I'm a sucker for a graphic tee anyway. But those that have messages and make people stop and think are the ones that I love the most. And then the fact that it was so many beautiful brown girls in those t-shirts, just, it just struck me like, okay, there's a story behind this. So tell the people all about Battle Tested War Ready.
No doubt. Yeah, so I appreciate that. So yeah, so Battle Tested War Ready, it originally started with just me experiencing, you know, what our women went through in the communities that I lived in Oakland, California. So it kind of started with Black women and just bearing witness to, regardless of what the Black woman had gone through, she still came out loving, she still came out smiling, she still came out powerful, and she still came out resilient, you know, to all of the atrocities that happens within, you know, our neighborhood. And, you know, obviously as I've matured, you know, as a man, I realized that, you know, it's not just Black women, you know, it's other women too that goes through many challenges in life. And so, you know, Battle Tested War Ready is really about taking away the thought process of, you know, how beautiful women are, which women are incredibly beautiful, the most beautiful thing on this planet. And then it's also about taking away, you know, her physicality. So if you take away her physicality and you take away her beauty, you force to pay attention to her mind. You know what I mean? And so when you see a woman rocking and wearing Battle Tested War Ready, you know, immediately your thought process goes to what's going on in her head. You know what I mean? And that's the intent, is that I want people to recognize the intelligence of all women. I want people to recognize the intelligence as well as, you know, the veracity, as well as the resilience, power, and commitment to just continuing on that women teach all of us. You know what I'm saying? When men as well as kids, you know what I mean? And so that's what really Battle Tested War Ready is all about.
Yeah, so it obviously is something that you've put your heart and soul into, because even after I got my shirt and I posted the pic, there was a couple of people was like, so what is this about? You know, it just like, it has a way of grabbing you. You know, what does that mean? Why do you feel like it's important right now to pay tribute to Black women like this? And it's okay if, you know, it's for us, by us, right? So, like, made you, like, why do you feel it's relevant right now?
I mean, when you think about it, you know, specific to Black women, you know, I feel like Black women are just unappreciated on all facets of everything that you can imagine. You know, whether you're thinking about a doctor or an attorney or a dentist or even a business owner, you know, it seems to me that the last person that you recognize and give the benefit of doubt to is the Black woman. So my objective is to really elevate her and have people, you know, pay notice to the fact that she is a doctor, she is a judge, she is a dentist, she is a business owner, she is powerful. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a woman who owns anything or has any particular title, but, you know, I think that it's important to let it be known that, you know, Black women teach us how to love. Black women teach us patience. Black women teach us how to live, and she teaches us respect and dignity, you know what I mean? And as well as pride. So, you know, you can't take that away from Black women. So it's just important that we reimagine, you know, the Black woman, which is why, you know, I have that inverted pyramid as part of my logo, is to really just, you know, from a psychological standpoint, have people reprioritize, you know, women and putting her back in her rightful place, which is on top, number one.
That is wonderful. What do you have to say, though, to those who are like, yeah, whatever, to that concept? Because I'll tell you, recently, all over the internet, I'm always online, but there have been a lot of conversations between Black men and women where there's this constant fight. One of my good friends and family members, she has her own podcast. She recorded one today, and it was about the dynamic of relationships between Black men and women. And I mean, it's like this power struggle that you see a lot in different circles. Like, how do you combat the Black men who are like, whatever, to the concept of Battle Tested War Ready?
You know, I just tell him that, like, look, I got empathy for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what you've been through in life, you know what I mean? So I got empathy for you, but, you know, my objective is to highlight just a matter of fact. You know what I mean? And so for anybody who, you know, downplays the concept or don't agree with the concept, you know what I'm saying? That's cool. I have empathy for those individuals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm definitely trying to bring forward the matter of fact, and that's really all that's important. You know what I mean?
Right. Because one of the things I feel like in particular is that when it comes to the difference between Black men and women is the understanding that we both carry a weight, but the weight we carry is different. And one is not greater than the other. It just is. And there's no harm in elevating one to give that life. And that's what I felt like when I heard the story, saw the logo, and those beautiful women and girls. It was like you were just, every single photo of every woman wearing that had a superhero pose or a smile on her face, or if she wasn't like super cheese and showing teeth, you could definitely see in their eyes that there was a shift in their mood because they believed in that slogan.
Man, and that's what it's about, man. When you can have somebody wake up and think differently about themselves, you know, so many amazing things can happen with that individual, and it always starts with an individual, and then an individual inspires another individual, and that's what makes it, you know, a community affair, community uplifting.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so to your point, you know, that's really what it's all about. It's like reimagining who you are, reimagining who our daughters are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And having them understand, you know, what that's all about. You
and
know
just
what I mean?
Flipping it on its head, because I think in some ways it could be a type of reverse psychology for a woman who isn't feeling quite battle tested, war ready. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She might be in the battle at the moment and does not feel like she's ready for war. But in that knowledge, in that campaign, in that encouragement, because that's really what it is, it's encouragement. In that encouragement, it's possible that shifting the mood shifts the mindset, shifts the action, and then that woman is able to become fully who she is created to be, wherever that may be.
Yeah, look, check it out. Like, so, you know, there's, if I talk to 100,000 women, you know, I feel like 100,000 would be able to tell me, you know, trials and tribulations that they've gone through. And some things they probably just, you know, tucked away in their emotions, and other things maybe they forgot. But at the end of the day, you know, it's important for them to understand that they are battle tested and they war ready for all the travesties that they've been through. You know what I mean? And so whether it's you, you know, looking for a job and maybe you applied to 100 and you felt like giving up, it's like, hey, for all those 100 jobs that didn't hire you, you know, that's what made you battle tested. Now, you know what I'm saying? You were ready. So tomorrow you got to get up and apply to another 100, you know what I'm saying? Because you deserve it. You know, it's the same thing from an emotional standpoint, maybe some physical experiences that women may have had. But at the end of the day, you know, I feel like you're battle tested, you're war ready, especially if you're a woman, Black woman, for sure. You know, when I think about my community and what makes, you know, the significance behind war ready is like, all right, you know, I may have been beat down yesterday, you know what I'm saying? I may have been beat down a month ago, but now I'm ready to come,
ready to win.
So, yeah.
I definitely can relate to that. When I was in school a couple of years ago, I was ready to quit school like every day. Every day I went on Facebook and was like, why am I doing this? And every single day I got this outpouring of love from so many people. And without them saying, like, keep going, because this is going to not be the end of the story for you, that this is going to open doors for you. It just, like, I was able to log back on and spend another hour on my homework. You know, it just, that encouragement means so much. And I think right now in particular, while life has just become so fragile, instantly for so many, that encouraging messages are the most mindful thing a person can do for another person. It don't cost you nothing to be an encourager.
No question about it.
You know, it doesn't cost you anything to uplift another human being and to give them props and to tell them that they can make it. Because you're right, there are some silent battles that a lot of people are fighting right now, and some are loud and others are not. But at the same time, you know, we have social media, and there is a lot of damaging content on social media. My daughter is 16 years old, and I am so grateful that we have conversations about the toxic stuff online.
Yeah.
Because it can really, really hurt and damage long term. So where do you see battle-tested, war-ready in that, in the online space, in the internet space? What do you see happening with it?
You know, what I'm really trying to do is just create an engaging atmosphere, you know, that offers a lot of promise, and also offers a lot of answers to some unanswered questions to girls as well as women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I really want our online presence to be an experience, ultimately all about empowerment, you know, and achievement. And so that's why I envision it, and we coming.
That sounds really good. It sounds like a cross-generational experience as well, which I think we really, really need. I am about to be 43 years old. Woo woo!
Yeah.
The 40s have been interesting, needless to say. But I'm enjoying it. But as someone who is about to be 43, I see the world a lot differently than I did when I was 20, when I was 18,
sure.
You know, when I was 30.
Yeah.
And I'm finding a lot of meaning in connecting with women who are both older than me and younger than me.
Yeah.
And that was something that I saw on your Facebook page too, the different ages of the women who were rocking the t-shirt, who was stating that they were battle tested, war ready. And I'm looking forward to what that looks like in the future, because it's hard out here in these streets sometimes when you're talking to these 20-year-old women. They be hard-headed, for real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, it's all good. It's what society tries to, you know, press on to us and our communities. You know what I'm saying? And so we just got to reshift that focus.
Yeah.
And give energy and attention back to the people that matter. You know, so I envision that someday, you know, little girls and women are going to wake up, and they are going to be the first order of importance. And even more important than that, you know, boys and men will wake up and also have the same outlook, and that their little sisters, their cousins, their mom, you know, their women are going to be the first order of importance. And that's kind of how they're going to, you know, move throughout the day. You know what I mean? And so,
yeah, because there are whole societies operate that way. It's just here in America we see things a little bit differently.
yeah, exactly, man. You know, it's a lot of stuff out there that's basically intended to create confusion, because it's all about, you know, it's all about industry, it's all about economics, you know. And so from an American standpoint, they're really just trying to, you know, capture dollars. They don't care about, you know, what the little girl thinks, or even what the little boy thinks, or the women or the men. They don't care. They just, it's all about industry and economics.
Right.
That'll take some more ready's mission is to reshift that. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're gonna do.
I'm looking forward to it. So you have your social media profile set up and everything. You ready? You ready for the launch?
I'm definitely ready. Yeah, I got the social media set up, Clarence Newton III. That's my personal page, you know. And then Battle Tested War Ready, my business page is set up. And then btwrclothing.com, that's the website for the clothing and apparel. It's online in the coming weeks. So, yeah, so we ready.
yes, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. I really believe that's an Oakland thing. I'm claiming it even if nobody else wants me to, because
no doubt.
Stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And that's the truth. So I really appreciate you coming on and talking with me today, Clarence. It has been wonderful. I really hope everybody goes out there and purchases the t-shirts. I got one, y'all, and it's not them thin Walmart t-shirts. Let me just tell y'all right up front.
Tell them straight up.
It's not the thin Walmart t-shirt. This t-shirt is probably not going to shrink on you when you wash it. So
no
get
doubt.
The t-shirt. It was soft and it was not, you know, because again, I told you I like t-shirts. And if it ain't right, I'm going to be mad if I wash it one time and then, you know, it's a waste. But the t-shirts are great. I saw that you were getting ready to roll out some tanks. And what else was that? Oh, leggings, the swimsuits. Okay. It's going to be all good. I can't wait to see what else is coming down the road, because the message is so needed right now. And I just love the fact that it came from a Black man. I mean, I'm going to be honest, like a lot of times, you know, in our effort to uplift each other, sometimes, you know, I was telling somebody, and this is not exactly fully related, but hopefully you'll get the reason why I brought it, bringing it up. I was in a particular conference and some triggering things happened. There was a speaker there who was way off base about health and wellness, and it upset me because it was about my demographic. You know, he was basically like, you know, Black men and women are overweight and sick because they don't care enough to eat organic vegetables, and I just lost it because that's not true, number one.
Yeah.
But later, after I expressed my anger to a couple of people, and the question came up by one, and I was asked, how come I didn't say anything? And I looked at him like he was like, well, how come you didn't say anything? You didn't, you know, speak up. And I said, why is it always the Black woman's job to speak up for everyone and everything?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes we get tired and we want our allies who actually noticed it too, because several other people were uncomfortable. Yeah. You speak up, you say something. I like to talk, but I get tired sometimes. So in your brand, right? It spoke to me because it wasn't a Black woman who was standing up saying, I want to empower other Black women. It was a Black man who said, Black women need to be lifted up and empowered. And that stood out to me too, because it was like, okay, finally somebody else is talking, because I've been saying X, Y, and Z and no one is really listening anyway.
Yeah, we coming.
Yeah, so that was excellent. Thank you again for joining me today. I hope everybody who is listening will go out and follow you and purchase those t-shirts and support the movement and start, you know, coming up with your own ways to empower your community, because this is what it's about. You know, it doesn't always have to take a whole lot. And what I am learning personally is that sometimes you just need to take small steps. You know,
no question.
And then
no question.
Each step becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Next thing you know, you got a whole movement, man.
Man, no doubt. I just want to say to the little girls out there, to the women out there, something that I always say and something that I say to my daughters, more specifically, and that is, you are life. You are the soil. You know, and so everything in this world makes an attempt. It makes an effort every single day to try to look like you, try to be like you. So just remember that. You know, and if you can remember that, you'll recognize just how important you are.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, Clarence. I appreciate you and your brand. And that is it for today. We kept it short and sweet.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much. I'm glad I was on. I appreciate you.
Yes. All right. No problem. Thank you so much, listeners. This has been The Mindful Chef with Chef Leisha Barnett. and Clarence Newton III, who is from Battle Tested War Ready. Remember, you can always catch me on Instagram. I'm on there all the time, posting pictures of my garden and my food as Chef Leisha Lee, on Facebook at Chef Leisha Barnett. And coming soon, the launch of my new website, chefleisha.com, where you will be able to purchase my spices.
No doubt. Shout out Chef Leisha. Them spices go crazy too. I want to put that out there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Y'all have a good day. Chef Leisha is out. Bye.